I have a surprise Wednesday night. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but in prayer meeting Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have something. We're going to have a message, but we're going to have something else, too. Now, tonight's message, as I announced this morning, will be on the subject, a sermon for seeking sinners. It would be awakening. It would be startling for some of you if you take a concordance, one of the complete concordances, exhaustive concordances, Strong's or Hodges, and study the hundreds of scriptures. I mean literally hundreds of scriptures from God's Word which instruct us to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. Now that's my subject tonight, a sermon for those who seek the Lord. We're so taken up today, and this is true. You know it's true, and I know it's true. We're so taken up today with a do-it-yourself religion. We're so taken up today with a what I call saved-on-the-spot decision. Come down the aisle and accept Jesus. And you're saved. You take my hand and repeat after me, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now you're fixed up. You've had a saved on the spot experience. You've accepted Jesus. You're all ready now for eternity. And most people today do not have the slightest conception of what it means to seek the Lord. They don't know. It'd be well for us to ask ourselves. I'm not afraid to ask myself, did I ever really seek the Lord? Seek the Lord. Did I ever really seek the Lord? Am I now? I'm taking up where I left off this morning. Am I now seeking the Lord? Am I really seeking the Lord? Do I know the meaning of scriptures like these? Listen to some of these scriptures. This is just a few. From the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Ezra chapter 8 says this, the hand of the Lord is upon all them that seek him. His power, his wrath, is against all them that forsake him. David wrote in Psalm 22, they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Are you seeking the Lord, or did you just accept Jesus? Did you just make a decision? Did you do it yourself? Are you seeking the Lord? I don't think a man has any right to claim salvation who has not and is not and will not seek the Lord. Psalm 119, blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with all their hearts. Our Lord Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek the Lord. Now, if you're interested, and I think we certainly ought to be, I'd somehow acquire a concordance, I'd somehow get in touch with one, or a Knave's topical Bible, and I'd go through the scripture and I'd read every scripture on seeking the Lord. There are hundreds of them. I just picked out 7 or 8 here from the hundreds. Seek the Lord. In the text that Cecil read a moment ago, here's a man seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. Here's a blind man seeking the Lord. The providence of God led him to seek the Lord. We don't live in a world of chance. You're not here tonight by accident. I don't believe for one moment in chance. I don't believe for one moment in blind faith. I don't believe for one moment that we're living in a world of accidents. I believe we're living in a world of God. A God of plan, a God of purpose, a God of providence. I believe you're here tonight by His divine providence and His divine purpose. You say, what if nothing happens for me tonight? Something's going to happen. Anytime the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached in power in the Holy Spirit, it is a savor of life unto some and death unto others. The gospel, if it's preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, as Brother Roach prayed a moment ago, and I hope that it will be, and woe unto me if it's not. But when the gospel's preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, something always happens. God said, "My word will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it." It may add to your condemnation. It may add to your judgment. It may increase your responsibility. It may convict you of sin. It may reveal to you Christ Jesus. It may bring you to repentance. It may bring you to faith. It may be the Savior of your soul. And it may damn you. But something's going to happen, I guarantee you. Nothing happens by accident. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things, not some things, all things. And here a blind man is sitting by the side of the road at a certain time of day, and Jesus Christ passed by. What if he'd have stayed home that day? What if he'd have had a bad cold? What if he had not been there when Christ passed by? What if he had lived in another town? What if he'd selected another road? I know he didn't sit in that same place all the time. Sometimes he begged on 4th Avenue. Sometimes he begged on 5th Avenue. Sometimes he begged on 2nd Avenue. But today he was right here on this road leading out of the town of Jericho. Why? God's purpose, that's why. A sovereign God put him there. What if the Savior had taken another road? What if he had not passed that way? I'll tell you this, there are no ifs about it. The providence of God, the purpose of God brings sinners under the preaching of His Word. And the providence of God and the purpose of God moves a true preacher who's seeking to preach his message, not what the people want to hear, not that which will tickle the ear, not that which will bring the most money in and most people in, but if a true preacher of the gospel is seeking to preach the truth of God's Word, God Almighty will select his topic for him, and he'll preach that message through him, and those people that God brought to hear it will hear it. It was no accident that our Lord passed that well on the road outside Samaria. It was no accident that our Lord came by the place where Matthew was sitting at receipt of custom. It was no accident that our Lord passed under that sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was sitting. And I'll tell you this, you may not hear it, you may not believe it, you may not receive it, and you may, by God's grace. But it's no accident that I'm preaching what I'm preaching tonight. And the fact that you're here to hear it. If God will give you ears to hear. Our Lord said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The Bible not only teaches us how to preach, the Bible teaches people how to hear. Did you know that? "Take heed how you hear," Christ said, "and take heed what you hear." Now I'll tell you something else about this man. Did you notice while Brother Roach read it? It was the providence of God that led him to this place. And you know, it was only a very short sermon that he heard. He said, "What's the commotion?" And somebody said, and this was all they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Now, that's not a very long sermon, is it? "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." That's all he heard. And he began to cry. He began to cry. When he heard these words, somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And he began to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." What a contrast between him and you and me. We've been sermonized until we're sermon weary, aren't we? We've been sermonized on Sunday and sermonized on Wednesday and sermonized in Bible conferences and sermonized on radio and sermonized through tapes. But have we heard them? This man didn't hear much, but he heard it. This man didn't hear a long sermon, but he heard it. And this short message, this brief word, did for him what multitudes of sermons and words have never done for some of us. Do you know what God used to bring me to some knowledge of His sovereignty and His purpose? He used one word, and that was the word I heard from the lips of a human being that turned me to study and turned me to seeking and turned me to crying to God for a revelation of His sovereign grace. One word, purpose. That's all I heard. I heard a man say one time, everything God does, He does on purpose. That's all I heard. And I'll tell you, it turned my world upside down. But I'll tell you one word spoken in the power of the Holy Spirit. One word heard under the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit is worth 10 million of your gabbing, nothingness words that will only add to men's condemnation. Just one word. Oh God, send this one word in the power of Thy Spirit, and it'll do more than 10,000 words. And that's all he heard. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. But I'll tell you this, it led him to seek the Lord. It's tragic, but people today aren't listening to preachers. And it's the preacher's fault because they're not saying anything. The average preacher thinks all in the world he's supposed to do is just get up and read a text and then start opening his mouth and saying some words. He's not saying anything. And then the third thing about this man, the providence of God led him to seek the Lord, and it was a short sermon that was preached to him, but he began to cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me. Now watch this. Verse 48. He received no encouragement from other people. Now, this is something I run into all the time. A fellow comes to a knowledge of a little bit of Scripture and begins to get interested in the gospel. And he expects everybody to promote him and push him and encourage him, but they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. They don't care if you get religion. They don't per se. They don't care if you adopt a ceremony or join a denomination, but this thing of knowing Christ, seeking the Lord, you're not going to have much help because not many people know Him. And not many people know what it is to seek the Lord. And you'll become an oddball, you'll become a strange person, you'll become a radical, you'll become a fanatic, and these people begin to tell him, now don't get excited, hold your peace. But he cried out the more, Jesus, Thy Son of David, have mercy on me. He would not be denied. Sitting there in his blindness, can you just imagine it? How helpless he was. Sometimes I try to imagine what it would be like to be blind. Sit there, just imagine for a moment, sitting there in darkness. All your life, you've never seen the light. You have to have someone help you to walk, to dress, to eat. And sitting there in your darkness, helplessness, no hope. You've never seen and probably realize you never will. But you've heard somewhere about a man called Jesus who is able to heal the blind. They say that he healed a man down in Capernaum. They say that he healed a man in Judea. They say that he healed a man in Galilee. Oh, if I could get in touch with that man Jesus. Here I am in my darkness. No man can help me. I can't help myself. My parents can't help me. The people can't help me. The doctors can't help me. I'm hopelessly blind. I'll never see the light of day. Never, never, never. And then I hear a commotion sitting out there, unexpected. One day out of hundreds of days, I hear a commotion. I say, what's that? Jesus. What'd you say? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus, thy son of David. Jesus, Jesus. Somebody said, be still. Jesus, where are you? Have mercy on me. Can you imagine that? And I'll tell you this. If you and I ever, if we ever realize that that's where we are in darkness, if we ever realize that we can't help ourselves and our parents can't help us and our neighbors can't help us and our preacher can't help us and we're in the total darkness of death and depravity and sin, hopelessly, hopelessly lost, and somebody comes by, and you've heard about this man Jesus that died on the cross, and somebody comes by and says, he's here, what you going to do? Huh? Duh, I know it. Seek the Lord. I'm telling you, brother, you'll seek the Lord. And I'll tell you, if you ever realize, like this blind man, the awful condition you're in, the impossibility. Christ said, with men it's impossible. With men salvation's impossible. Impossible. You go on and go to church in your blindness, and you go on and memorize scripture in your blindness, and you go on and be baptized and go through the motions in your darkness, and you go on doing all these things and reading books in your darkness, but oh, if you ever want to see, you're going to have to get in touch with Him. Personally, individually, independently, lovingly, willingly, in touch with Him. He's the only one that can touch blind eyes and make them see. He's the only one who can unstop spiritually deaf ears. He is the only one who can make the lame legs to walk. He's the only one who can bring the dead out of a spiritual grave. He's the only one. And I know it. And I'm going to keep seeking Him, seeking Him, seeking Him. Let me take some scriptures briefly tonight and show you some characteristics of those who are really seeking the Lord. I'm not talking about these do-it-yourself religionists and these accepting Jesus experiences and these walking down the aisle and getting fixed up for glory once for all saved decision. I'm talking about a heartfelt, genuine, sincere, eternal seeking the Lord that results in a saving relationship that a man cannot take away from you. And here's the characteristics of those people. And I found this in looking through God's Word. You take your Bible. I want you to mark some scripture. First scripture is found in 1 Chronicles 16. Now, I say this honestly and sincerely. If you're satisfied with this other, if you're satisfied with some preacher to shake your hand and say you're all right, then you rest your eternal soul on that. If you're satisfied with memorizing a few doctrines and saying, I'm all fixed up now, okay. If you're satisfied with an experience that took place when you were 12 years old or 15 years old, you rest in it. But, brother, I'm not. I'm not. I do not want to fall into the depths of presumption. I want to win Christ and be found in Him. I want to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Oh, that I might have some folks who will seek the Lord. Let's make a covenant to seek the Lord together. That's what Israel did. Now, here's the first characteristic of one that seeks the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 10 and 11. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 10 and 11. Mark this. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually, continually, continually. Now, there's some who get the spirit of Christmas. I know they mean well. I wouldn't be critical. Somebody asked me the other day if I'd gotten the spirit of Christmas yet. Some people get the spirit of Easter. Some people get the spirit of a religious holiday. There are those who are moved during revival services. That's the reason these churches have revivals twice a year, to get folks worked up in the spirit of revival. There are those who get interested in God at a funeral. There are some who have a Sunday morning religion. They go out every Sunday morning. That's their duty. That's their responsibility. They go out on Sunday morning and listen to the preacher and sing a few songs. But those who seek the Lord are those who seek Him continually. That's right. Like David, they can say, my soul panteth after thee. Not just on Sunday morning, but Monday morning and Tuesday morning. My soul thirsteth for the living God. People who seek the Lord continually know the meaning of scriptures like these. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Pray without ceasing. That means to live in an attitude of prayer. Men are always to pray, not just on Sunday morning,
Not just Easter, not just Christmas, always. You know what it said? And not to faint. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. But we're oriented to this. God's down here in a building. We go to church. This is not a church. Nowhere in the Word of God is this building ever called a church. Here's the church. A church is a living organization. The church is where I am. Christ loved the church. He's not here. He's in my heart. And I don't go down to a building to meet God. I come down here to meet you. And together to worship God. I can worship God wherever I am. I seek the Lord continually. Now turn to another scripture, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Those that seek the Lord seek Him continually. Now here's another scripture to underline. Verse 2 of Psalm 119. Verse 2. Blessed are they, Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. With the whole heart. Now the heart is not this thing in here that pumps blood. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about with the whole being. With the whole inner man. With the whole soul. That's me, myself, seeking the Lord. With my whole being. Jeremiah 29 says this, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." With a true heart. With a sincere heart. Peter turned and said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." Now, it's never wise to deal insincerely with anybody. It's unfair and it's ungodly to be deceitful and insincere in any kind of dealings. I don't care whether it's a dealing of friendship or a dealing of business or dealings of affection or whatever it is. It's ungodly to be insincere and deceitful. But woe to the man and woe to the woman. And woe to the young person who plays at seeking God, who plays at prayer, who makes a mockery of divine worship. Brother, I'll tell you this, and I say it with all my soul and all my heart, if you're coming here for any other purpose than to worship God, for your sake, I wouldn't come. If you've got this Bible open there in your hand and you're reading it for any other purpose than the glory of God and seeking to know Him from its content, close it for Christ's sake. That's so. And when we bow our heads and pray, and you can't pray and you can't seek the Lord in sincerity, don't call His name. Be a heathen, be an atheist, be an alien, but don't be a hypocrite. That's what he says here. Listen to these scriptures. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. He has no pleasure in fools. Better it is not to vow at all. Better it is not to use his name. Better it is not to call on him. Better it is not to come into his presence. Just stay away. Don't add to your condemnation by making a mockery of God. God is not mocked. Oh, come. He invites you to come. But come in sincerity. Pray. He invites you to pray. It can be a fumbling, bumbling prayer. It can be a prayer which can't even be put into words. But a prayer that can't be put into words that comes from a sincere heart is far better than the greatest oratorical display of eloquence without sincerity. Seek the Lord with your whole heart. And then turn to Psalm 145. Here's a characteristic of those that seek the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 18. Look at this. They seek Him continually. Not a once for all shot. I went down there while I was in Delhi, Louisiana, and they took a gun, shot me for the swine flu. I'm not supposed to get it now. I'm immunized. I'm protected.
Well, you don't get saved that way.
No, sirree. I have to go to this word every day, don't you?
Go to God every day. I seek the Lord at all times.
Continually. That's what I'm talking about, with my whole heart. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth.
Now, this is important. It's not enough to have a God. It's not enough to have a religious profession. It's not enough to live by a moral code. It's not enough to seek a profession. Eternal life is to know the true God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said to the woman at the well, "Ye worship, you know not what." We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. You say you worship in this mount, somebody else in Jerusalem. They that worship God worship him in spirit and truth. And so the Father seeketh such to worship him in truth. Brethren, we must know whom we have believed. We must know what he did to save us. We must know why he came to save us. We must know the true and living God. How shall they call on him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear of him without a preacher? You see what I'm saying? It's to seek the Lord continually. It's to seek the Lord sincerely. And it's to seek the Lord. The Lord of creation. The Lord of sovereignty. The Lord of the Holy Scriptures. The Lord and Father of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord who died on the cross, who was buried and rose again. The Lord, not a Lord, the true and living God. And then look, this is precious here. Turn to Isaiah 51. They who seek the Lord seek him continually. They seek him with all their hearts. They seek the living God. Lord, speak. I'll shut my mouth. Tell me who you are. Reveal thyself to me. I'll believe thy word. And then they seek him, remembering their sins. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Listen to this. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look to the rock whence you are hewn. Look to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Don't forget where I found you, God says. Don't forget where I found you. Speaking to Israel here, he says, look to Abraham your father and savor the one that bare you. I called him alone. I blessed him. I increased him. Where'd you find him, God? I found him in idolatry. I found him in pagan heathenism. I found him worshiping idols. It was grace that lifted him up. Paul, always when he gave his testimony, would say this, I obtained mercy. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. I was this. He always remembered the pit from which he was taken. He always remembered the condition in which God Almighty found him. I said this morning, a man will never go to Calvary until he's been to Sinai. A man will never go to the throne of grace till God stripped him at the throne of judgment. A man will never come to Christ for mercy till he justifies God in his righteousness. And then watch this. In Psalm 27, I've got to hurry, but here's another mark of a man who truly seeks the Lord. He seeks the Lord continually. He seeks the Lord sincerely. He's not playing games. Let the potsherds of this earth strive with the potsherds of the earth, but let not a man strive with his maker. You play other games. Don't play this game. And then he seeks the Lord in the next place with a single purpose. Look at David, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Now stop right there. I want you to ask, I don't know you. You don't know me. We love each other. We're friends. But you don't know what's going on in here right now, and I don't know what's going on after. But let's stop and ask ourselves. If this were me talking right here, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing I'm seeking after. Now you stop right there and tell me what it is. Not out loud, but just tell yourself, what are you seeking?
Are you seeking fame, money, fortune, popularity, friendship, fellowship? Are you seeking an easier way in life? Are you seeking more possessions? What do you desire? What are you seeking? Listen to David. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That's it right there. And I'm saying this, that a man who's really seeking the Lord, I'm not talking about a fellow who wants to get fixed up so he won't go to hell. I'm not talking about a fellow that comes down here to get him an insurance policy so when he dies, everybody say, well, he made his peace with God. He's gone to his reward. He's gone to be with Jesus. I'm talking about a man who says, this is my single purpose in life. I want to know him. I want to see his glory. Oh, to see the beauty of the Lord. That's it. And then watch this. Turn to Isaiah 55. And this is important. I may offend somebody here. I'll try not to. But Isaiah 55 verse 6. Now watch this right here. Those who seek the Lord, seek Him while He may be found. Now listen to this. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Jesus of Nazareth. What did they say to that blind man? Why he getting in such a hurry? Why was he so impatient? Why did he not quiet down when people told him to quiet down? Because he knew the message went this way. Jesus, the Redeemer of Nazareth, the Anointed One, passes by. He passes by. He'll be gone in a little while. He's passing by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You better listen to this point right here. I don't know where we get the idea. You didn't get it from this book. I don't know where we get the idea that Jesus Christ the Lord has nothing better to do than hang around outside your heart's door for 59 years waiting on you to let Him in. Now, I don't know where that started. There's no scripture for that. The scripture speaks in the opposite tone. The scripture says, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Isn't that what it says? David wrote in Psalm 63:1, early will I seek thee. Listen to this. Psalm 6, O God, early will I seek thee. That doesn't mean early when I'm 5 years old or 7 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old. It means however old I am, when I come to the consciousness I need you. When I come to the awareness of who thou art. When I come to understand what it means to know God, right then I'm going to seek you. And I warn every person here, if God Almighty has been pleased to say anything to you or do anything for you or in any way make Himself known to you, it's a good idea to seek Him while He may be found. He may be passing by. He did the Pharisees. He passed by and they ridiculed Him. And the disciples said, the Pharisees, you upset them by what you said. He said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. He said of Ephraim, leave him alone. Don't bother him. Leave him alone. He's gone to his idol. You read Romans 1 and 2. And three times it says in there, God gave them up. You read it three times. Talking about the skeptics and agnostics, God gave them up. Talking about these homosexuals, God gave them up. Talking about these covetous idol worshippers, God gave them up. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He gave them up. He passed them by. He judicially blinded them. One day Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. One day Paul said this. He talked to a bunch of Jewish people. He said, I'll go to the Gentiles. And he turned his back and walked away. And he went to the Gentiles. And God judicially blinded the Jew for 1,900 years. And I'll tell you this, if I were you, I'd seek him early. I'd seek him early. And then in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 6, let me give you this in closing. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And here's the way to seek him. It's to seek him in faith. In faith. Nothing in my hands I bring. I'm not bringing my work. I'm not saying, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll go to Africa as a missionary. God's not going to bargain and do business that way with you. Lord, I tell you what, if you let my son live, I'll go to church every Sunday. No, you don't. You come empty hand. You don't come bargaining with God. Don't you bring God a contract and tell him you'll do your part if he'll do his part. That's ungodly. You come and say, Lord, if you kill my son and my daughter and my husband, I'm going to love you anyhow. Though you slay me, I'll trust you. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Don't you say, Lord, if you prosper my business, I'll give so much to you. That's ungodly. That's ungodly. And Almighty God doesn't deal with sinners that way. He doesn't bargain with sinners. We don't have anything with which to bargain. I'll tell you when God forgives a man, when that man has nothing to pay. That's what Scripture says. When they had nothing to pay, he freely forgave them. This woman with the issue of blood, she had nothing to bring. Everything else had failed. She said, if I can just touch him. If I can just touch him. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's the diligent rewarder of them that what? And he rewards them diligently that what? That seek him. Seek him. I'm not afraid. Some of these preachers may be. I'm not. I'm not afraid to turn a sinner over to the hands of the Lord. I'm not afraid when sinners come to me and say, show me how to be saved. Well, I'll preach the gospel to them, and then I'll say, go home, seek the Lord. Go home, do business with Christ. Go home and cry out for mercy at the throne of grace. Seek the Lord. And I say to you men who are elders in this church and who stand in this pulpit and preach when I'm away, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. I say to you men and women who are 75 years old here tonight and have just a few more years on this, spend those years seeking the Lord. Don't go back and look at an experience or a decision or something you did or something you gave. Just keep on seeking the Lord. And they that seek him, he said, will be found. Our Father, we're grateful for thy presence. Thy presence has been here and thou hast spoken to us, and we're undeserving and unworthy. But Lord, you've been pleased to speak through your word. Thou hast not left us alone, and we rejoice and praise thy name. You gave us a message, O Lord, that we might have ears now to hear it, and a heart to receive it, and a will to walk therein. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.